First Thessalonians chapter number 5. Last week we discussed verses 1 through 11. And does somebody want to recall, if they remember, the context of this passage that Paul is writing to them? Remember what we read at the end of chapter 4? And he's given them some, basically some precepts and things to remember. What were some of the, what is the context of him trying to encourage them about? What's the context of this? Somebody remember? Yes, the rapture, the Lord's coming, and he's preparing them, he's encouraging their hearts around that, because there was some confusion at the time. Is the Lord coming? Are we going to be a part of this judgment of the tribulation time? How's this all going to work for us? Are we going to see our loved ones again? So Paul is handling a lot of this and going to give some very practical advice as he moves through. But one of the things that stands out to me, and we covered this, and we're going to continue that thought, we covered this last week, was believers should be living in the light. Living in the light. Because people that are in darkness have no concept of expecting the Lord's coming, living in the light of the Lord's coming, and they walk around the world as the Word of God states it, in a slumbered state, a drunken state in their minds and thinking. There's not a focus. But for God's people tonight, thank God, we got a focus. We have a focus that the Lord has been given us, and I believe He's going to give some more tips here that we're going to see tonight. But we're going to move right into verse number 14 tonight. I'm just going to stay here. If you start at verse 12 and go through the end of this chapter, there is probably about, I tried to count them. Some of them come with little different numbers, but I came up with at least 18 precepts that Paul gives to the Thessalonians. Just little short commandments such as pray without ceasing, rejoice evermore. There are many of those, and I'm not going to try to cover all those tonight. We may get them to them again later on down the road. But this is the one that God put on my heart tonight, this certain precept that we're going to find in verse number 14. And notice what Paul says here. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly. Comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. Under the head title would be Living in the Light, continuing that message. But specifically for tonight's challenge, tonight's message, I want to give you this thought. Looking out for one another. Looking out for one another. Would you pray with me? Lord God Almighty, we love Your Word. We know it's true and pure and lovely and righteous. We know, dear God, that it's living. And we ask You to just let it find a lodging place in our hearts tonight, that we might be changed and transformed, and that we might be more Christ-like because of our decision to be faithful to the midweek service tonight, to hear the Word of God and to obey it. May Jesus be honored through this time together. I do pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Look out for one another. You know, you may hear that phrase, especially if you, a mom or dad is talking to a group of siblings and you got the older sibling and they make that comment. Now, look out for your younger brother and sister. Does anybody ever say that? You know, tell that older one, absolutely. Now, you look out for them. You watch out for them. What does that mean? It says basically when you're out and about and you don't necessarily have a parent there, you're trusting that individual to look out for that person that may have a need that normally would be met by a parent. But with that older brother and sister, that sibling there, they're going to help that. Well, you know, right here in this verse, I see Paul telling a group of believers in Thessalonica, you look out for one another. And there are going to be Christians in your church, and you may be one of them some days, that are going to need you to look out for them. I need you to look out for me. I need to look out for you. We need to look out for one another. We need that, each other. And it's biblical, and it's the right thing to do. And so, number one, let me give you the first point. If you're taking notes with me, number one, the Bible simply says, warn them that are unruly. Now, this right here, the way you're going to look out for someone, we see in verse 14, he says, now we exhort you That means we are encouraging you. We are urging you, church in Thessalonica. You believers, warn them that are unruly. Well, what does this word warn mean? This word warn is the Greek word noutheo, where we get nouthetic counseling, our English word. But it means to instruct. It means to warn. It means to put in mind. That's probably the richest meaning that I found in researching the word, is to put in mind. That's what that word warn means. And so he's saying put in mind to who? Put in mind to them that are unruly. Well, who are the unruly, and what exactly does that mean? Well, you know, I guess you could go, it's a pretty broad term, but if you look at it in context, it likely means those that were not doing much for the Lord because they thought God was coming at any moment, therefore they were idle. Because that word also can carry the connotation of being idle or lazy. And what Paul is saying here, you be sure to warn those that are unruly, in other words, that are undisciplined. They're basically just living a lax life, a relaxed life, and they're not doing anything for God when God wants them to be doing something for Him in the light of His coming. It's basically deviating from the prescribed rule or order is what that unruly would mean. It's used also in 2 Thessalonians. Look over there with me just for a moment. Just flip over like two pages probably. Look at 2 Thessalonians chapter number 3. Notice what it says there in verse 11. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 11. Paul says, "For we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly." There's that unruly. "Working not at all, but are busybodies." The idea here was saying, look, you got these people who, in that context, and then specifically here, that just needed a warning. Someone to go up to them and say, look, I know perhaps you are living in the light of Christ's coming, but by you just sitting and doing nothing is not helping the cause of Christ. And they just needed a warning. And there are many times that we need a warning. Right? You know, we notice a brother and sister that's just basically, they've gotten out of line in some areas. They've lost their focus, and perhaps they're just kind of floating through life. And they name the name of Christ. They give a very clear testimony, but they have basically in some way rendered themselves ineffective. And that's considered unruly in this context. And what God is saying, and for each one of the Christians here at Crooked Creek Baptist Church, and for myself, God is commanding us in His Word that we have a responsibility to go to those brothers and sisters and to warn them and say, you know, you seem to have lost your focus, and I just want to warn you. I just want to encourage you and instruct you in this way and put in mind that, look, God is coming, but He wants us to be serving Him. He wants us to be living in the fullness of the Spirit with fervency and charity and joy and faith. Those are the things that the Lord wants for us to be able to remind others of. Proverbs chapter 24, verse 30 says this, "I went by the field of the slothful, and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding." Notice that last term there, the man void of understanding. And you see, somebody that doesn't really understand the doctrine of the coming of Christ, it will lead them to a life of disorderliness. But if a person lives in the light of the rapture, and boy, we're going to prepare for God's coming, we're going to serve Him faithfully daily, it's going to change us. It's going to help us to combat laziness and slothfulness. Matthew Henry said this, "Idleness gives great advantage to the tempter. Standing waters gather filth." I've noticed that in my own life. When I'm idle and I don't really have any purpose. Now, listen, you know, when you have times of rest and relaxation, that's one thing that's needed for every believer. You get away for a while and it's fun not to have to plan to think about anything. Amen. You just let your mind relax and there are times for that. But that is not to be the norm. Because I have found in my own life, when I don't have a purpose for that day, when I don't have a purpose for that week, I become idle and I get discouraged. You know, you start getting those vain thoughts and a verse I just memorized recently, and I love memorizing those short verses. Amen. That just really helps. But Psalm 119:113 says this, I hate vain thoughts, but thy law do I love. That's a great verse to memorize, because we all have vain thoughts that run through our minds, don't we? We sure do. And quote that verse, I hate vain thoughts, but thy law do I love. But an idle mind, I'm telling you, you're going to get some vanity going through your mind. And so what we need to do is we need to help each other, to warn each other in that way. Every person needs purpose. Amen. Every person. Number two, if you're taking notes there, the second point is this. Comfort the feeble-minded. Comfort the feeble-minded. This carries the idea of strengthening the hurting. Notice what your Bible says. Comfort the feeble-minded. What does this word comfort mean? Well, it's neat. I like the connotation of this word right here, comfort. It means to cheer up. Cheer up. Those that are feeble-minded. What does feeble-minded mean? It means discouraged, faint-hearted. It means this. I like what one Greek theologian, word study, he quoted it like this. He said, one who feels like they are short of the resources for their given trouble. It just feels like they've just come up short. They don't, what they're going through in life, they don't feel like the needs are being met, and they're discouraged about that. Perhaps the bill's not going to get paid, perhaps, and you just go down the line. Perhaps I'm not going to get that job. Perhaps I'm not going to have that relationship. Perhaps, 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 perhaps. And what happens is a person, a Christian, easily gets faint-hearted. And what they need is they need a comforting word from another believer. And we ought to make it a point every day to try to encourage somebody. We ought to make it a point to say an encouraging word, to cheer up, as that would say, especially those that we know that are currently discouraged. Because we all go through seasons of discouragement. And as God's people, we ought to be alert and aware of our brothers and sisters who are going through that season. You know, there are some that we can say, you know, I just can't get out of this discouragement. You know what Charlie Brown said, that one quote of his? He says, my anxieties have anxieties. That, you know, we all go through seasons like that, don't we? Where honestly, you feel like, man, you find yourself worrying about one thing, and then that turns into another worry, and it's like, whoa. But you know, sometimes, let's be honest here and transparent. Sometimes as believers, we try, let me just say this, and maybe say it this way. Sometimes we are overzealous in trying to cheer people up. We have to be careful about that, too. I read another, it's amazing, sermon illustrations Charlie Brown will give you, but I was reading this one comic that said, Charlie Brown comic that said, Charlie Brown was talking to Linus. He said, I'm depressed, Linus. I need an encouraging word to cheer me up. Linus, boy, he went on. He said, happiness lies in our destiny like a cloudless sky before the storms of tomorrow destroy the dreams of yesterday and last week. Charlie Brown, I think that blanket is doing something to you. And you know, we do need to be careful, church. When we pray and look for people to cheer up, look, people aren't necessarily looking for all the eloquent words and all the list of Bible verses that they're disobeying at the time. They don't need that necessarily. What they need more than anything is a listening and loving heart. Someone that will just call them up and make that contact and say, hey, I just want you to know that I am here for you. I love you. How can I pray for you? Is there anything that you just need to talk about? I'm here to listen if you ever need that. And that will strengthen, that will comfort the feeble-minded and the discouraged, and it will help them in those times. And so we got to make it a point to do that, because we all go through those things, especially in the day we're living in. Is it not? It can be very discouraging in our day and age. But number three, not only do we warn the unruly and comfort the feeble-minded, but number three, we support the weak. Notice what your Bible says right there. Support the weak. That word support means to hold up, to cling to. The weak, who is the weak referring to? Well, the weak is referring to people who are sick. And specifically, I believe it's talking about people who are spiritually sick. Who are just away from God. They claim the name of Christ, but there is no allegiance to Christ, and there's an obvious sickness there. Well, what does the Word of God tell us to do there? The Word of God says support them. Don't support their sin, but you support their weakness. You support them as a person. You support them, and that word weak also carries the idea of hopeless. People that are hopeless in a hopeless situation. People that are delicate at the time. They've been traumatized in some way. They've been hurt in some way. And what the Word of God says is that we ought to support. The Bible is very clear on that. And helping people in that way. I remember just 2 months ago now. It's just, boy, time has flown. When I broke my ankle out there in the woods that day behind the house. It was a tough injury there. It hurt. I knew something bad was wrong, and I didn't take my boot off. They had to cut it off actually when I got to the doctor. But I knew I couldn't walk, and I was just propped up against the tree. And thankfully I was not bleeding, because when my wife asked me that, I could just say no, I'm not bleeding. I'm glad of that. But I couldn't walk, and I knew my wife couldn't help me. And you know the story, most of you I told this to. I called the neighbor, and the neighbor called the neighbor. that's what happened, because the neighbor wasn't home, and I didn't have the number to the other neighbor, but that neighbor did. Amen. And I'm glad they did, because then they called that neighbor, and that neighbor came running. So thankful. That neighbor came. I mean, running too. A man and his wife. I looked over my shoulder, and they were running towards me through my yard to the woods. And he said, Brinson, you all right, man? You all right? He got up there, and he got me up, helped me get up, and I got my arm around his, and he insisted a couple times I wasn't putting all the weight. He says, no, you are not putting as much weight as you should. And he clung to me. That's that word right there, to cling to someone and hold up. And Jamie was doing just that, my neighbor. He said, Brinson, you're not putting the weight on me. So finally I did. I put everything on him that I could, except for that one leg that just helped me balance. And then his wife came over to the other side, and she said, I want to help too. So I put my hand on her shoulder, and she was insistent. She's like, no, you got to. I felt bad about it. She said, I want you to. And so here I am hobbling out of these woods, and they're being insistent, and they were being a support to me. That is the meaning of this word. We ought to be willing to get up under people that are struggling spiritually and try to be a support to them. It doesn't mean we condone sin, but it means we come alongside them and try to cling to them to help them. And that is what that verse is talking about, supporting the weak, those that are in a season of life where they're very delicate and where they're hurting and they can't help themselves in some ways. You know, let me show you an example. Just hold your place there and go over to Romans. Romans chapter number 14. We'll just look at a couple verses here. Romans chapter 14. Look at verse 1 there. Verse 1 says this. Him that is weak in the faith, receive ye. But not to what? Doubtful disputations. Do you see what it says there? Him that is weak in the faith. And this context is going to be talking about judging one another when it comes to meats and eating meats offered to idols. And it's going to talking about hindering one another in their walk with the Lord. And basically what he's saying here is, look, you need to be willing to receive that individual. And the spirit of Christ likeness, And don't be arguing. Don't use it as a time to debate and tear down. It's a time to help each other out. You know, in this context, I even think of some of the things we're facing today. And, you know, it's really silly when you think about fighting over it. But just let me throw some things out there that are right there on our level today. Face mask. You know? Listen, let's just think about this. Some people that wear face masks around the clock, that's what they believe they ought to do. That's what they believe the right thing to do. Well, you know what? The right thing for them to do may not be the right thing for me to do. I may not feel that same way. But here's what I believe is in order for this. Who's the weaker person? Yes. Because this is what matters. If I'm one who doesn't wear a mask, this is what this verse is saying. Even if I consider that person a weaker brother or sister, which that may not be the case, you know what I'm supposed to do? I'm supposed to support them. I'm supposed to support their standard. You see that? Not judge them and condemn them and talk bad about them. And it goes both ways. If I'm one that wears a mask all the time, I'm not to look down upon that brother or sister that doesn't wear it. But you support them in that. That's a little silly illustration, but at the same time, it goes to show us, you know, you may consider someone else weaker than you, but the fact of the matter is, they may look at the same way, but what we must not do is we must not use that time, a time to tear down each other. It's a time to build up and to strengthen. In fact, look over just one chapter, chapter 15. Romans, yeah. Just one, flip over one page there, Romans 15. Paul's going to deal with it again in a little different context. But he says, we then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak. And not to what? Not to please ourselves. You see, that is the spirit of supporting the weak. We ought to help those that are hurting. And then fourthly, in closing, back to our passage, notice what it says there. We ought to suffer, be patient toward all men. Notice what it says there at the end of the verse. Be patient toward all men. That basically is we is saying we need to suffer long with all. A literal translation of that word there means be of a long spirit. Be of a long spirit. In other words, have a spirit that's willing to go the extra mile with our brothers and sisters in Christ around us. In times, in the context when someone is unruly, when someone is discouraged, feeble-minded, when someone is weak, they're sick, they're hurting. It means go the extra mile with them. And it's basically saying being patient. Don't lose heart with people who are struggling with the categories above. In other words, don't give up on these people. You know, that's what I believe the exhortation is there for God's people who are living in the light, who are looking out for one another. You know, God is our Father. He has told His children that we ought to look out for one another. And so how does that look for us? Well, let me ask you, is there people in our church that are hurting today? Yes. Are there people who are unruly in our church today? Yes. Are there people in our church who are just weak? Yes. And the fact of the matter it is, church, we all are in those categories at various times. But this is what's got to happen. We got to be there for each other. Not pretending that we just all have it together. Because we don't. We don't. We don't, do we? We need to suffer long. Amen. Let's pray.